We prayed this once already. I'm going to pray it again. O God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name. Lord, may I proclaim the name that knows us all. May your words dwell in our hearts, that as we leave this place today, we are sent with your presence and your power, with your understanding, your wisdom, and the ability to look more like you than to look more like us. Help us, Lord, to follow our shepherd, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I feel like I haven't preached in a long time, and yet I've had tons of opportunity to. But the bad news is I've got 6 sermons this morning, so buckle up. That actually should be good news, because I'm just fired up, and I think the Holy Spirit's going to lead me to what I need to say. Let me start off by saying I had the privilege of laying to rest a friend a couple weeks ago at Quantico. And the passage that we have in the Old Testament was from Psalm 23 and Psalm 116 and John 10. And it was all about shepherding. And it was interesting to me that the family chose these scriptures, because they point to a leader. But a strange leader, in the sense that it's not a military leader, but somebody whose voice is understood. And because the voice is clear, those who are called to follow, follow. And I will say about my friend, Colonel Jim Hodges, that people followed his voice. He was your quintessential colonel in the Marine Corps, and you heard his voice, and you said, yes, sir. And I love that he was a good shepherd as well, because he loved the Lord, and people followed his call. You know, every day you have competing noises to get in your ears, right? I love the fact that I'm getting older and deafer, because it means that those competing noises have no place in my ears. Just kidding. But, you know, the average person is exposed to thousands of messages every day. Whether they're ads, notifications, opinions, news, social media, each one is saying, follow this truth, give yourself to this, buy this gadget, right? It's like standing in a crowded airport with 100 voices calling your name, but only one voice actually knows you. Only one voice is trustworthy. Only one voice can lead you home. The question is, or not, are you being led? The real question is, what or who is leading you today? Well, the scriptures have an answer for that question. I hope it'll come through clearly. Remember who's leading us. Nehemiah tells a story in Nehemiah 9. The people of Israel are gathered. They're fasting. They're confessing. They're worshiping. If you remember, Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls of Israel. And he's sent with a decree so the locals, the warlords essentially, couldn't do anything about the fact that the supreme government said yes to this cupbearer to the king. He had favor because God gave him favor. And that favor became a decree that allowed Nehemiah to go back with the people of God and reestablish Jerusalem. So here they are, they're digging with one hand and their sword is in the other, because they have to fight back the locals that don't want them there. But they stop. And at the right appointed time, we hear this in the scriptures of a time where they have just decided they're going to stop and listen to the law being read over them. And they rehearse God's stories of faithfulness, creation, covenant, deliverance, and provision. You see the key principle in all of this that God wants to say to you and I, in the same way he said to them back then, is stability, spiritual stability. Where have we heard that word before? Maybe a rule of life? Could be. I don't know. I'm still talking about it. I probably will talk about it till I die. Spiritual stability begins with remembering God's faithfulness. Let me say that again. Spiritual stability begins with remembering God's faithfulness. How do we know about God's faithfulness? Where do we hear of God's faithfulness? We hear all sorts of opinions, all sorts of commentators, all sorts of people who want to talk about God, But where are we hearing the very things that we need to fill our hearts and lives with? It comes from Scripture. Let me tell you, in the ADD world that we live in, there are so many squirrels to deter us from hearing God's word. But I'll tell you, if you would just get your earbuds in, or whatever mechanism that you use, play it as loud as you can in the house, you don't even have to read it anymore. Just play the word of God. Let it play over you. One of my favorite apps on my phone allows me to hit play at the bottom of a chapter, and it'll read the whole chapter and stop. And sometimes I'll go, "Ooh, wait a second, Lord. I didn't really listen to that." So I'll go back to the beginning of the chapter and I'll play it again. And sometimes I'll play it a third time. The reality is we need to be stabilized in this world by remembering his faithfulness. And the things that the people of God did in Nehemiah was they confessed their sins. They separated from the corrupt. There was a sign in that. It wasn't just that they were separating from people because they were different people groups, because they wanted to condemn anybody, but they were separating themselves from things that were impure. It was more about their relationship with God than it was of their testimony to other people. And sometimes that's what church is, right? We separate ourselves from the world. We get here so that together as the body, we can fill ourselves with good things. And he provides us with daily bread and direction. I don't know about you, but I think our culture suffers from spiritual amnesia, right? Amen. We get concussed by all the things that come against us, and we forget to remember intentionally and rehearse the things that God has done for us. Let me give you an illustration. Think about your phone's memory feature or Facebook's memory feature. It reminds you of where you've been. Pictures will pop up, right? And it shows you where you were 8 years ago. And you go, "Oh gosh, I don't even remember that." And all of a sudden, you're reveling in the truth of that moment that you captured with a picture. And most of us don't even have that spiritual memory system. So when a crisis hits, we panic, not because God's failed, but because we've forgotten to keep record, to keep track of his grace. So, as part of your personal rule of life, maybe, this is a suggestion from your chief shepherd, just write a little note on the side of your notepad for the day. What am I grateful for today? What is your daily gratitude? How are you grateful to God for what he's doing, what he's done? Secondly, recall answered prayers. Just start to make a list in the sideline of whatever you do daily as a devotional, or maybe it's on the notes that you're taking or supposedly taking in the middle of a business meeting. Jot down the ways that God has been faithful to you, and it will help rehearse, purposefully rehearse those things that God has done. You see, God wants us to shift from being those who walk around with amnesia to those who walk around with intentional remembrance. So we get to Psalm 23. We all have heard Psalm 23. We probably can recite most of it by like the Lord's Prayer. It's such a common thing, but do we really recall what God is promising to us in the midst of it? It's asking us to trust in his leading, to follow his path, to rest in his provision. The promises here is, "I shall not want." When I was a kid, when we said this, I said, "Wait a second. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Like, I don't want God? Why are they saying that? I didn't understand. "I shall not want" means I don't lack for anything. With God, his provision, his presence, his power, his anointing is all I need. I always want to be with him. He restores my soul. I will fear no evil. If I'm in the valley of everything dark, he's not handing me a sword. He's not upping my artillery. He's not proclaiming the next great laser that's going to come out of the sky. He prepares a table for me in the presence of his enemies. He wants me to feast in his presence and trust him for his goodness. And it closes with, his goodness and his mercy will follow me forever. At first, I thought, well, all I got to do is be in God's presence. My whole life will be goodness and merciful, right? Well, anybody who's experienced life enough knows that sometimes there's some things that aren't so good. And sometimes God's correction, direction, or even as he's growing us, it doesn't feel so merciful. I have to remember that his heart for me, his trajectory for me is eternal. So that everything that I have, all the things that I experience, I need to have that gratitude that I just told you to write down in the margin of your page. I have to have this place. Thank you, Lord, for challenging me today. Thank you that I'm angry enough with you, like David in Psalm 13, that I can shake my fist to the sky and say, Lord, why? Why have you left me for my enemy? I'm not bait. I shouldn't be eaten by jackals. I shouldn't be beaten up. Why? Because I know what I know in my knower. David says that you are faithful. He knows that because he's walked with God. He didn't give up when he faced a little bit of challenge or some struggle or some, you know, difficult relationships. He said, I know that you are my God. So in Psalm 23, we recognize that we have to trust his leading, follow his path, rest in his provision. We have to shift from self-reliance and anxiety. Anybody suffering from self-reliance and anxiety? I used to joke, my family used to joke that it was my mantra as a kid. I'd say, I do my loan. Like, I'm going to do this without any help. Well, I had two older brothers and two older sisters. And everybody around me say, oh, you do that like Margaret or Jeannie, or you do that like Frank, or you do that like Bob. And I was like, I have my own identity, darn it. My name is Daniel, and I do my loan. It's not working for me. As hard as I try, it doesn't work for me. It creates a level of anxiety. I have to control and manipulate my life in order to have it the way that I want to. And what the Lord wants for me is a trust-filled interdependence on him. Let me give you an illustration. We live often like functional atheists. Let me explain. Our calendars are filled with overbooked tendencies. We're overextended. We're exhausted. The fact of the matter is we act like functional atheists with calendars because we don't fill them with God's agenda. We fill them with all the shoulds, and we do most of the should on ourselves, right? We pour most of the things that we feel we should do. And really what this passage in Psalm 23 says, hey, folks, if you would just hear my command in this, confess your sin honestly. Walk in a life that follows the leading of God. Be like sheep with a shepherd who gets led into what the shepherd does. Watch what he does. I love that when I was in Israel, two times now, I've had the blessing of being able to be there. I went once when I had a chance on a day break. I was there for over a month. And I watched as Bedouins came into a market with their sheep. Now imagine you were at the mall here in Fairlawn and six guys came in with their sheep. And they're just walking through the middle of the mall. And all of a sudden, they have to go in their own directions, and they have this whistle or this cry or this hoot or whatever it was with their voice, and the sheep know it's time to leave. And they don't get behind the sheep and go, scoot, scoot, come on, you guys get into line. They just walk. And they make that noise, they give that call, and the sheep separated. It was unbelievable. And it was such an illustration for Psalm 23, because the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they follow. So I have to ask the question is, where are we overleading our lives? Where are we putting false expectations on ourselves and being our own shepherding voice without listening to the shepherd? Where is God asking you to lie down instead of push harder? That's a hard one. Sometimes we just need to recognize where the one thing we're missing in our week is Sabbath. The one thing that we're missing is that place that is assigned for God and for God alone, for us to rest in him. In a rule of life, the rhythms are Sabbath, prayer, and trust over control. Choose to do things that feed that tank in your life. First Peter, the words come out really strong today as you hear them. I love this passage in First Peter. It says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. That sounds political. I mean, that was my first thought when I thought it. Well, here, if there's a place where we're called to deal with what is going on in our culture, this is God's assignment for how do we follow the structures that we live in. Following Christ means trusting God even when the world is unjust. We are called to submit to authority for the Lord's sake. We're called to do good even when wronged. We're called to endure suffering with integrity. The promises here in this passage are that our life will silence ignorance. Our personal testimony will silence ignorance. God sees and honors our faithfulness, and Christ is the one to follow as our shepherd. You see, the shift that God wants us to make here is not a shift from taking control and responding to everything that is negative against the values of a Christian life. It is to not to be reactive and defensive, but to be Christ-like and enduring and bearing witness to his grace and goodness. In our culture, we're called to clap back, right? Fight fire with fire. Let's make sure that we defend our rights. We've got to win the argument. That's not the example Christ set. Was that the voice that was screaming to the world when he died on the cross? Was that the voice that was screaming when he said, turn the other cheek? Was that the word that was given to us at the feeding of the 5,000 and the Beatitudes that were spoken? They were words that told us that what we need in our lives is formation, and that formation is becoming like him. Sheep are called to be in a place where we don't react, but we reflect. We reflect his personality, where God is calling us to be quiet, to find our strength, not in loud pushback or resistance, but in faithful obedience. So we get to John 10:10, or 10:1 through 10, sorry. And we hear this word from the gospel about the voice of the shepherd. And it gives us this clear picture of what it is to be led by the good shepherd. And Jesus says, he is the good shepherd. If you stood at the top of Masada today, you would look down into the valley, and in the valley you see these out formations. Now, some would say that they may have been rock walls around encampments. Others would say that was the sheepfold. Either way, Bedouins were still using them to this day as sheepfolds, places where the sheep could come in and be protected from the wolves at night. Be in a place that's surrounded, that gives at least an intentional barrier around which the sheep can gather. And this word that we get from the Lord in John 10 is that to live our lives is learning to recognize and follow the one voice. We're called, we're commanded to listen to his voice, not to follow strangers, to enter through him. To enter through him. What does that mean to you when the Lord says, I am the door? Jesus isn't a door. He's giving it as a metaphor, as an analogy. What does that mean? It means that every decision that we make, every heart string that we pull, every thought that we have needs to be captive for him. How do we put him through our Jesus filter? I mean, as silly as it was, there was a real heart intent that changed a lot of lives when people wore those wristbands that said, what would Jesus do? Because it's asking the right question. Scripture is how we hear his voice. Again, prayer is how we respond. Obedience is how we follow. Let me say that again, because those are three key ways to apply this word. Scripture is how we learn his voice. Prayer is how we respond to it. Obedience is how we follow. You see, when we're called to be sheep, when we hear his voice, when he calls us by name, we are called to a life that's given abundantly. The thing that we had to shift inside of ourselves is that we have to, you know, being driven by all of the noise, all of the information, all of the fake news, if you will, to being led by a relationship. Let me say that again. We need to move from being driven by the noise to be driven by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Shepherds in the Middle East still do this with their flocks, like I said. So altogether, these texts are giving us a clear picture of what it is to be followers of Jesus that are transformed by him. Nehemiah reminds us to be people who are faithful. Psalm 23 reminds us that we need to trust in his leading as he shepherds us. 1 Peter 2 reminds us that we're called to follow him in obedience and, that word, suffering. In obedience and suffering. When we're called to follow him through hard times in our lives, it doesn't get any easier, but he forges it in us an intentional remembrance of his goodness. Lord, I hate what I'm going through right now, but I know that you are good. Lord, I hate when my friends are suffering, when my family members are broken, when people that I love, or I, just me alone, feels like dog dirt. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to remember that you are my good shepherd and you lead me into good things. You see, there's a difference. As we follow him, we respond to his voice, as it says in John 10. There's a difference between a GPS and a shepherd. Follow me on this one. If I speak to my GPS, I ask it to give me directions. I'll say, hey, Siri, and of course my watch is going to buzz on me right now. And I'll say, give me directions. Recalculate when I mess up. Stay quiet unless I need something. But Jesus is not a GPS. He's our shepherd. A GPS gives directions, but the shepherd gives relationship and presence and protection and voice. Amen. He doesn't stay quiet. He doesn't stay quiet. If you don't want him or you don't need him, he's still speaking. We just have to be listening. You are being formed every day by voices, habits, fears, and desires. And Christ stands before you and says, I know you. The beginning of our service today, where's my bulletin? The beginning of our service today, we always have this phrase that's spoken. Now it's behind me, of course, under my phone. We have this phrase that we say, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Let me just take you into your home in the morning as you wake up and you begin your day, looking for the shepherd's voice to guide you, but filling your first thoughts with coffee and noise. Second, you pick up your phone, that noise is right there. There's 17 different notifications. There's friends sending you email. There's all sorts of other stuff to say, me first, right? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. The Lord sees you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows you're failing, and he still loves you anyway. He knows your desires and the things that you're distracted by, and he still loves you anyway. I know you, I call you, and so the same message is going to be the same this morning as it was yesterday, and the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. Follow me. What did he say to his first disciples? Well, my itinerary says that about 7 o'clock I'll be at the Hilton, and if you want to join me for a drink, well, I'll be down in the lounge. No. They said, Lord, what are you doing next? Where are you going? Come and see. That was his invitation to his disciples. Come and see. So the question is, will you keep from living being driven by noise, or will you become people formed by his voice? I know that you want to be people formed by his voice. So let's be intentional. Let's start today. Find 10 minutes this afternoon to just take some notes and be quiet with the Lord and let him speak to you. Lord, what am I grateful for? What have you done in my life? How do I love you? How are you forming me? Help me to hear your voice more. Man, that fills up 10 minutes like that. Spend some time remembering his faithfulness. Rest in his care. Reflect on his character. Recognize his voice. And when you do, you won't just survive in the wilderness. Is that what you want? Do you want to end your life with an epitaph on your gravestone that says, "He survived the wilderness. Thanks be to God." That's dry and empty. I want an epitaph that reads something, that there was substance there. He looked like Jesus. He loved like a real guy. You've heard me say, if my epitaph just reads this, he was a real guy, I will have succeeded in life. Because I don't want to be lost by all the noise in my life. When you recognize his, when you rest in his care, you recognize that you can trust him. When you reflect on his character, when you hear his voice, you won't just survive the wilderness. You will become a people shepherded, formed, and sent, living in his abundant promises. I guarantee you, because when I have been obedient to that voice, I have felt his presence and blessing. Even when I've been suffering, God hasn't left you. God doesn't forget you. He's waiting for you to be intentionally involved in a relationship with him. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your voice. We thank you for the way that you shepherded us, the way that you've shepherded St. Luke's church. Who could have guessed that the little blue church down in that valley would turn into a giant building built by sacrifices of so many people, and then for that building to be lost, and we're still standing today because we stand on your faithfulness. We trust you for the days ahead. We know that our call as a church is to usher in your healing to the community around us and to speak the power and person and presence of the Holy Spirit that brings absolute transformation in our lives. Help us to do so, Lord, that people would come to know you, not us, not programs, not even a building or a church liturgy or any of the things that we can do on Sunday, but that would come to know you and walk with you and grow in a relationship with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.